Greetings, dear church. I'm really honored to stand here again before you and share from the Word of God. So whoever has their Bible, please open and follow along with me so we can together study what God wants to speak to each one of us today. As you know, we're studying from the first epistle of James. I'm sorry, 1 John. We finished James and we came to the second chapter. Last time we spoke about the section that talks about spiritual growth, and here we come today to a section that talks about the world, how we should not love the world nor the things of the world. So I titled my sermon today, Love God, Love Your Brother, But Not the World. So today we will be talking about these verses, verse 15, 16, and 17. Let's read them together. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We'll be talking about these verses here. From first glance, it seems like it's a little strange that John would call us to not love the world, because so many other passages in the Bible calls us to love the people of the world. So what is John really calling us to do here? Well, if you look at verse 9, in the same chapter, we talked about this a little bit before, it says, he who says he loves the light and hates his brother, he is in the darkness until now. So clearly John is not calling us to hate our brothers or hate the people of the world, because Jesus taught that you have to love God with all your heart and you have to love your neighbor, even if your neighbor is an enemy. So the word that John uses here for the world is cosmos, and it could mean at least three different things. One of the things it could mean is the physical things of this world, like these beautiful fruits that we see here. James is clearly not saying that we should not love the things that God created, because it is all good and God gave it to us to use as something for our benefit so we can live, so we can enjoy it. So John is not talking about the physical things of the world. And also we see that it could mean the people of the world, this word. But it does not mean that, because we know that Jesus calls us to love all the people. So what does it leave us with? The last interpretation is that it means to hate the evil system of the world. To not love the world system that is dominated by the devil, that is controlled by everything that is against God. And this is what we'll be focused on today. So when John says, do not love the world, he's not talking about the people of the world, but he's talking about not to love the system, the evil system that is controlled by the devil. So if we see, John says, do not love the world, does that also mean that we could interpret it to say that you should hate the world? Let's look at a few verses from the Old Testament. We are called to hate the things which God hates. And even in the psalm we read earlier, Psalm 5, it says something very similar to the fact that God hates the things that are evil. And in Amos 5:15, it just a short part of that verse says, hate evil and love good. We know that God hates evil, and God hates the things that are against what he teaches in his word. And also in Proverbs 6:16, it says there, these six things the Lord hates. And then it says, even seven are an abomination to him. And then there's a list of things. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And I will not read the whole list, but Solomon writes here is very similar to what John says that we should not love, which are the things in the world. So if God hates these things, then we should clearly hate the same things that God hates. So we should not love the world. We should not love it so much that we should have a hate towards it. Not hate the people, like I said before, but we should hate the system. We should not have anything to do with the evil world system. So I would like to look at three questions from this section that we read that will help us hopefully interpret what John is saying here. And the first question I would like to focus on is, why does the world hate Christians? It seems like more and more people are hating Christians just because they bear the name of Christ. Even though we do no evil to people, but we are hated. Why is that? One of the reasons, because Christians expose the sins of the world. That's why we are often hated, because when some Christian comes into a place where there's unbelievers, and oftentimes just the presence of that believer, people do not feel comfortable because the person brought light into that room. So they do not like that. That's why the world hates us. And Jesus said these words in John 15:18. He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But if you were of the world would love its own. If we were of the world would not hate us." And then it says, "But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, that's why the world hates you." So we are hated because we carry the name of Christ. And we are hated because we Christians are called to be a light of the world. And light exposes the darkness, and people do not want to forsake their wicked ways. Another reason why Christians are hated is why the world hates Christians is because being a Christian makes you an enemy of the world. Remember, we talked about this in James 4:4. Not too long ago, it says there, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So we talked about this in detail, that there's no way to be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. That's why, by default, if we are a friend of God, the world will be our enemy and the world will hate us. Another reason is because Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And we have to thank God every day that we are not part of those that are blinded. We're not in the people of the world, because God shed his grace on us and gave us the opportunity to see the light and walk in it. Because if it wasn't for God revealing his light, we would have walked in the darkness just like everybody in this world. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 clearly says this. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So the God of the age, the devil, has blinded the people. That's why the world hates Christians. The second question I would like to focus on today is, why should Christians not love the world? Or why should Christians hate the world, the world system? Why? What is the dangers of being a part of this world system? Let's look at a few things here. Number one is that because God does not want us to share our love with the world. God does not want us to share the agape love, which John writes here, with the world, because this is the love that God only wants for himself. So the word here says, do not love the world. The word is agape. It's not a physical love. It's not even a brotherly love. It is the deepest kind of sacrificial love that a person can have when he has a personal encounter with God himself. Only God can give us this kind of love. And he says that once you have this love, you should never share it with the world. We cannot give to the world that which belongs to God alone. And also, where our treasure is, there will our heart be. Remember what it says in the Bible? But we could interpret it this way. Where our treasure is, there will our love be. The things that we treasure the most are the things that we love. So if we treasure something, we will love it. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So if we have a strong affection towards something, if we have a strong affection towards the things of the world, then we have a big problem when we have to address it, because it will lead to something very bad down the line. And we will talk about that in detail. If your deepest longing is not for God, but for the world, then you need to look at the root of the problem. Is maybe it's because you are in love with the world. Maybe you love the system of the world because it is so, it draws us in. Everything in this world has the desire to draw us away from God and to draw us towards the world. That's why when we see all the advertisement, it's always focused on that, to pull us away from God and to make us sin before God. Another reason why Christians should not love the world is because the things we love the most is what forms our character. This is a very important point here, because John says, do not love the world, because if you love the world, then the things that you take in will begin to form in you a character, and which will then influence your lifestyle and our choices. So if we constantly take only from the world, we do not take the things from God but from the world, then that will begin to take form in us, and that's what will be evident in our speech, in the way we dress, in the way we talk, the way we look, what we look at. So if we do not control the things which comes out of our mind, we need to control the things which comes into our mind. When we watch something on TV, for instance, or internet, advertisement, and other media long enough, it will begin to control us. And if we let the thought dwell in our mind, in our head long enough, then it will begin to form in us the worldview of the world's view, not how God wants us to live. It will begin to influence our thinking and our actions. And I'm reminded of an example that our pastor, Brother Dennis, shared last week of how the media has encouraged the world to accept homosexuality. And it was through constantly showing portrayals of this lifestyle as being something good and being accepted. And these people in the media are always the heroes, and they're good. And that's something that maybe 20 years ago was shunned. Now it's open because the media has a big, strong influence on our character. And that's one other thing we will look at a little bit later. Now, when we studied James, we saw that how sin progresses from a simple thought all the way into death. Now, lust does not just come right away. It's not something that we see and right away we begin to lust. It all begins from a thought that comes into our mind. Remember, in James 1:14 says, "But each is tempted by when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And if it is accomplished, it brings forth death." So when we have a thought, when we see something in any media, whether it's music or some kind of something on TV, if we do not take that thought out of our mind, it begins to turn into something a little deeper. It's called a contemplation, something we not just think about, but something we spend a lot of time thinking to ourselves how we... And it begins to affect our emotions. We start thinking about it more and more. And the third step is, if we do not control, is lust. If we contemplate on something long enough, something that is not good, something that is evil, it will turn into lust. And lust is much harder to control. It is practically impossible unless you have somebody that you open up to and pray, somebody that helps you overcome this condition. Otherwise, you will fulfill that which you have said, that which you have thought in your mind. So if you start lusting after something, it's very high chance that you will commit what you thought about. And if you commit the sin, it leads to death, which was what we read in James. And if it's not repented of, then we will die, not just physically but spiritually. So James is telling us in this section that we should repent of our sins, but we should also, when we have a thought that comes into our mind, that we should stop it right away, because when it gets to lust, it is very hard to stop what we have thought about. And the third thing I wanted to talk about why Christians should hate the world or not love the world is because of the things which are in the world and the three things which John mentions here: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now let's look at the lust of the flesh. This includes anything that is related to our physical body or the food, clothing, technology, all the gadgets we have nowadays, cars, our homes, sexual immorality, anything that is against what God's order is in the Bible. It's not about whether you possess these things, because having them by themselves might not be wrong, but it's when these things begin to possess us, and when we give, sometimes maybe even we do not need such an expensive car, but we give, the lust of flesh draws us to buy a very expensive item that we spend years and years paying off, and we lose our family time because of this. The lust of the flesh is something that is stated in Galatians 5:19. So we do not need to guess what this is. Paul actually states for us what the works of the flesh are. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, entitlement, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. So when we read a list like this, we often say, oh, that's not for us, because maybe we do not find ourselves in there. But it all starts from little things. The lust of the flesh might not be something big. It might just start from a thought that maybe I want to do something that God does not want me to do. So the world says whatever feels good, you should do it. And we hear that over and over again. But know that if you do something, you become addicted to something, then you become a slave of it, and then you cannot free yourself from this. Now, a good way to test whether we are addicted to something is if you are watching a show or something, or doing something, playing a game, and somebody comes in the middle of it and turns it off, what is our reaction? Can we peacefully say, okay, I will do something else, something more productive? Or do we have this anger inside because we were not able to finish? I know that children have this reaction because their minds have not formulated. They're not fully grown yet. So they have this reaction, I cannot. They start fighting. They start telling us that they need to finish this. But this is a way that we as adults can test ourselves. Are we addicted to something? When we should just say, I can stop at any time, and it does not affect my emotions. Now let's look at the lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. All the things which we see, have a direct effect on our consciousness. This is a very important point. All the things which we see have a direct effect on our consciousness. So when we go out to nature and view the mountains, the rivers, the beauty of God, that affects us in a positive way, and we worship God. It's a very good thing to be out in nature. But then when you look at something negative, something that is sinful, it has the exact opposite effect. Whether it's just a little bit or something that we should not watch, it affects us. And if you see something sinful, it will draw you towards sin. There's no middle ground. If you watch something sinful online and then you think, I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and just by the presence of me being here in the church, that it will get washed away, that you are deceiving yourself, because that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to not give room for the eyes of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. He does not want us to give room for the devil to work through the lust of the eyes. Now, one thing we should point out is that God allows us to live whatever way we want. God will not drag anybody by the hand into the kingdom of heaven. God says, live the way you want. Look at anything you want. There's actually, well, let's look at what Ecclesiastes says. Ecclesiastes 11:9. God says, live the way you want, but there's a very strong warning. So let's look at this. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. So here he says, look at anything you want. You're not limited because God's not going to drag you. But then listen. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. You can watch whatever you want, but God, you will have to give an account to God for all the things which you put in front of your eyes. God will ask you for your life, not for the for your neighbor or for anybody else in your life. We have to remember that we will become just like what we watch. If we watch a lot of horror movies, that will begin to dominate our life, and we will begin to act this way. No wonder there's so much shootings and mass murders, because that's what's been the dominant theme in most movies for many, many, many years. And that's what people grow up in, watching constantly murders, and because they see in the movies there's no repercussion because the murderer is always the good guy, but not in God's sight. We know that God will bring us to judgment for all these things. So we should, just like Job said once, we should put a covenant in front of our eyes that we should not look upon a woman, like he said, so that this is the only way we can control the lust of the eyes, is when we make a covenant with God, so we will not sin this way. So let's look at the last part that John writes here, is the pride of life. The pride of life. The word of life here describes that it's the things which you gain, the things which you have in your life, the things which you earned with your money, the things which you purchased. Look with me at chapter 3, verse 17 for a minute. It says, chapter 3, verse 17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? This is the same word, the world's goods, the lust, or the pride of life, referring to the same thing, the things of this world. If you have them, do you use them for your own needs, or do you share with the needy? Do you hold it all for yourself? Now, if we obtain things based on the eyes of the lust, or on the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh, then it will be made manifest in the next section, which is the pride of life. So when you go out to buy something, when you see an advertisement for a very expensive car, and you know you could not afford it, but you can take it on credit, and the lust of your eyes and the lust of your flesh begin to speak to you, and you buy this thing, and it will be manifest in the pride of life. And then you will show to everybody this one thing that you purchased, and you will show pride in this. But we know that God opposes the proud. Remember when we studied James, and it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, because God opposes the proud. Now, this is like a three-step ladder that John writes here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, don't think that, oh, just because I'm not on the very top pride of life, that I'm not doing anything wrong. Because as soon as you step on the one step of the lust of the flesh, it will automatically take you up to the pride of life. And if you step on the next step, which is the lust of the eyes, it will also take you up to the pride of life. There's no way to stop this. The only way is not to step on this ladder at all, and to not have affection towards the world, but have affection towards God. Now, we can't guard ourselves from pride if we lust with our flesh and lust with our eyes. Now, the third last question I wanted to share with us is, what are the consequences of how we react to the world? What are the consequences of how we react to the world, whether we react in a loving way to the world, whether we accept the world, or whether we hate the world? Let's look at the first consequences. What are the consequences of loving the world? The first and obvious one is here. God will not be able to express his loving character through you. Now read with me verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now this does not say that the person will not have love for the Father. This person might still claim to be a Christian. This person might say, "Lord, Lord, did I not in your name cast out demons or do miracles?" It does not say that he will not have love for God. Maybe he even considers himself a Christian, but it says that God's love will not be in that person. It will not be in the person who loves the world. It's not that man does not have love towards God, but that the love of God is not made, the character of God is not shown through your life. Because if you keep taking from the world, then the things that will come out is the things of the world. Just like we look at these fruits, whatever you sow, you reap, right? If we always sow towards the world, if we always sow towards the pride of life or the lust of the flesh, then we will gain from that. But if we shun that away and if we gain from God's character, then God's character will be evident in us. But if we love the world, there's no way that God can show his character through us. So if we lust or have pride, then we know that God cannot be made manifest through us. Now, if you do not have a desire to be with God, then examine yourself. Are you in love with the world, or do you love the things of God? And the second thing is, the consequence of loving the world is that you will not be stable. You will not be stable in all your ways. You will always be changing. You will always be wanting to seek something new. You will always be searching after new desires to please yourself in different ways. The world and the lust and the pride are all temporal things which will pass away. But if you step on this ladder of lust and pride, then you will always seek after new things. You will seek after things every day. They will be changing. You will always be seeking after new things. But remember, Peter says that the earth and everything we spend so much time focusing on will burn up. It will all disappear. There will be nothing left. So why do we focus so much time on the earthly things, temporal things of this earth, and not the things which abide forever? So the character of God in us will abide forever, but the things of the world will pass away. It will not remain in us. Now let's look at the positive consequences of hating the world. What are the consequences of hating the world? One of them is the promise of stability. You will be stable in all your ways, as we read in verse 17. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now the word abides forever, it can mean that he will spend eternity in heaven, but this is a reference to the things here on earth, that the things which he desires, the fellowship he wants with God, the character he wants to the character that he wants to take from God and to show to other people will abide forever. The things that he lives for will here on earth abide with him. He will not be like the chaff which will be blown away, like we read in Psalm 1, but he will abide forever. And sometimes people might say, well, if I choose to go to not love the world, then I will miss out on all the blessings of the world. Well, the so-called blessings, maybe not the blessings, but the things that the world has to offer. But think about it this way, that If you choose to love God and hate the world, then God will supply all your needs. He will give you much more. He will give you much better things than the world has to offer. So you will not be missing out on anything when you choose to love God instead of loving the world. And the last thing is a promise of God's protection over you. Remember how Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer, John 17:15, when he was talking to the Lord, to his Father, about us in the world. He said, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." So Jesus says that I'm not going to ask for God to take you out of the world, but you will have a hedge of protection around you. When the devil wants to do so much evil to you, when the whole world is persecuting you, when everybody's speaking evil of you, you will have a protection, a hedge of protection over you, which nobody can touch you, because God will be protecting you. That's why I would much rather be on the side of God and have him protect me than love the things of the world and then have God be my enemy. I would much rather be on the side of God, and I would much rather have Jesus pray this prayer over me that he will protect me from the evil one. Now, in conclusion, I would just like to remind us that last time when we looked at there's a spiritual, that you can grow spiritually. You can be a child, you can be a young boy, you can be a youth, and then you could be a spiritual father. So what is hindering us from becoming the people that God wants us to be, the men and the women that God calls us to be? What is hindering us? Maybe it's this love for the world. Maybe we need to reconsider that everything that comes into our eyes, or everything that the lust that comes through our flesh, it has an effect on our character. And if we only gain the things from the world, then the things of the world will come back from us. But if we, like it says here, if we do not love the world, if we do not love the things that the world has to offer, then the love of God will be manifest in us. So let's learn to draw from God. Let's learn to take the things that God has to offer in his world, and let us set our affections on the things of God in the right places, so that we can keep his commandments, and that the love of God will be manifest in us. Now we have an opportunity to pray. Let us pray that God will give us the right discernment, that we will not love the world, but love God with all our hearts. Let's pray. Amen.